Tonight we're going to start chapter 4 in Malachi, and next week we will finish chapter 4 of Malachi, and if you look at the bottom of your page, it'll say that's the end of the Old Testament. But as we've been looking at the prophet's message from God to Israel in this time, we find out that the message is also needed today. Because people are doing the same thing that the priests were doing back then. Chapter 4 deals with judgment and future events. And so tonight we're going to look at the first three verses, and we're going to look at the great day of the Lord. Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And in this passage, very short one, it says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." We know that this hasn't happened yet. This is future prophecy. "And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts." There are basically three points to this passage tonight. And it's all about judgment. It's all about a future judgment. It's about a great day of judgment. A judgment that Christ will do. A judgment that we don't have to worry about if you know Him as your Savior.
Amen.
So in verse 1, we see the declaration of God's judgment. The first phrase of this verse says, "For behold, the day what? Cometh." And if God says something's going to happen, I guarantee you it will happen. Amen. See, judgment day is clearly taught in Scripture. And if you really want a quick primer on judgment day and all the events of that, you could go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Because verses 10 through 12 talk about that. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, Peter describes this day that Malachi is prophesying. He says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." What does that mean? You don't know when it's going to happen. But because you don't know when it's going to happen, just like you put an alarm system on your house to prevent thieves from coming in, or try to prevent thieves from coming in, we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ, so your judgment was put on Christ on the cross.
Amen.
It says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat," just like Malachi 1 says. "The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." So we see that judgment day is clearly taught in this. It's not an allegory. It's not some image. It's going to be the real thing. And you need to be ready for it. It is a day that we should look for. In our passage it says, for what? Behold. What does behold mean? To look. To look up. In that same passage, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God." Are you looking for that day?
Amen.
You know, John said in Revelation, "Even so come, Lord Jesus," when Christ said, "Behold, I come," what? Quickly. Looking for and hasting means that we need to be working at it. We need to be working for it. We need to be sharing the gospel unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And the big thing is, and here's the message for us. It was the message for Malachi thousands of years before. And the message hasn't changed. It's a message that needs to be declared today.
Amen.
And I tell you what, it's a lot closer today than it was then.
Right.
In the in-between verse in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. And here's a question. Here's a question, Christian. Here's a question, all those on the internet. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Folks, it's time to come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. It's time to be a holy people. A royal priesthood. It's a day that should be declared. It should be declared by our walk. The way we live. You know, don't be like Peter says, everything's going to be the same way. That's what they said when Noah was out there hammering into the ark. And then all of a sudden the floods came. And they're banging on the ark saying, "Let me in! Too late! Too late!" Revelation chapter 1 verse 3 says this: "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this" what? "Prophecy." And, you know, it's one thing to hear, but it's a bigger thing to do. Because it says here, "And keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Folks, it's time to stop listening and start doing. It's time to stop listening and start telling. Because judgment day is coming.
Amen.
So we see the declaration of God's judgment in verse 1. In verses 1 and also in 3, it says we see the description of the judged. It says here in verse 1, it says, "And all the" what? "Proud." See, they will be characterized by pride. And there's three possibilities of pride, but they're all the wrong thing. There are some people that are so proud that they have no need for God. "I don't need this." You're emotionally weak. You're mentally weak. You're intellectually weak. You don't need this. It's just a crutch. No, it's not. He's the creator of the universe. God omnipotent. He deserves our praise. He deserves our obedience.
Amen.
There are those that see no need for God, though. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Paul writes, the Corinthian church says, "Look out. There are churches just like us." It says, "In whom" the what? "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Well, there's no need for that because they're not going to listen to me anyway. You have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to preach the gospel. We're supposed to go into all the nations and teach them and preach the gospel to what? Every creature. Go home and preach to your cat. Practice on your cat. May not. Our cats are stupid. You look at it and you go, "Meow." That's about it. But the issue is, there are those that see no need for God, but that doesn't mean that we should stop. Secondly, there are those that depend on their religious activity. They think that they're going to heaven, but when you come right down to it, they're not. You know, Christ was dealing with all those dudes all the time. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, he says, "Woe unto you." What does woe mean? Judgment's coming. You need to get right. He said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." You think you're going someplace. You think you're better than everybody else, but you're not. You're in need of a Savior. You're in need of salvation. For ye pay tithe. You do the little thing. You do the religious things. You pay tithe and of mint and anise and cumin. And have omitted what? And omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment. If you know God's judgment is, you change the way you live. Mercy. If you had God's mercy, you would give it to people instead of what they were doing. And faith, they didn't have it. They had faith in something that was going to get them saved. These ought ye have done, and not to leave the other undone. You know something? The religious leaders back then were proud. There's people out there today in false cults that said, our way is the only way. And they actually believe it. And you know something? They're more zealous of their false faith than we are. Yeah. Much to our shame. So this judgment is to the proud here in Malachi 4:1. There are those that will depend on their self-righteousness. Well, I'm a pretty good dude. Kind of goes into, I don't need God. But I'm okay. No, you're not. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're not okay. Right. You need to get saved tonight. In Romans chapter 2, verses 17 through 19, Paul is talking to those people. And he says, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God. Remember what they said? We be Abraham's seed. We be born of fornication as you are, Jesus. And knowest his will and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that thou art thyself a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness. But you know something? Christ said this, how can the blind lead the blind? They'll both fall into the ditch. Don't let religion blind you from heaven. Don't let you think that you're good enough blind you from receiving Christ as Savior. So we see that this judgment is coming. It's coming on the lost. It's coming on those that reject God. It's coming on those that said they were godly people, but they weren't. So the description of the judge is they would be characterized by pride. Secondly, they'd be characterized by wickedness. Here in the next part of verse 1, it says, and all the proud, yea, and all that what? Do wickedly. See, we all have a ability. We don't have to be taught to be wicked. It's just natural. For one man, for one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men for what? All have sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 says this, the heart is deceitful above all things. And what? Desperately wicked. We see this going on today on our TVs. On the other side of the world right now. How the wicked is a one man. It's causing all the suffering and agony. Folks, it's just last days. Judgment's coming. Are you ready? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, if you knew that you had a problem, I tell you what, if your toilet was exploding, you try to do something about it. But you know something? In this world, the world's toil is exploding of wickedness and sin, and nobody's doing it. In fact, they're just enhancing it. Because it's a wickedness that continues to grow. And this was the problem. They hadn't stopped. We see in chapters 1, 2, and 3, we see that it says, oh, well, do you love me, God? And then it just gets worse and worse and worse. That was last week. Look in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, and look at this progression. Folks, we are living in this time right now.
Yep.
It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." Judgment day is coming. "Who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that when they may be known of God, that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Psalm chapter 19 says the heavens declare the glory of God and the handiwork of God. They are without excuse. Well, someone's not heard. I don't have to go out and witness, because someone, if they don't hear, they won't go to hell. Not true. Not true. There is no excuse. Even more so that we should go out and share the gospel. Verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they saw what He did. They glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Baal stooped down. Nebo stooped. What we talked about Wednesday night. It's all the same stuff. It just changed the names. "Proclaiming themselves to be..." And imagine their foolish heart was darkened. "Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made unto like unto corruptible man." Buddha.
Come on.
John Smith. "And to birds." Look in mythology. "And four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." Christ said it'd be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that wicked generation back then. And we're a whole bunch worse now. "Who changed the truth of God into a lie." What? God made a mistake when He made me a man. When He made me a boy. I'm actually a girl. Isn't that changing the truth of God? Look at yourself. That's the truth of God for you. Don't change it. It's God's design for your life. "Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." See, we describe the description of the judged. They're proud. And because they're proud, they're also wicked. And that wickedness just continues to get worse and worse and worse and worse. They will be characterized by separation. It says later on, "In that day that cometh, shall what? Burn them up." Matthew chapter 13, verses 41 through 43. You know, I find it interesting that the nation of Israel that had the entire Old Testament, including this, Christ is preaching this stuff, and they didn't know. And He crucified, they killed the God of glory. "The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather them out of His kingdom, all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire." I'm preaching on hell tonight, folks.
Come on.
Because there is a literal hell.
That's right.
Amen.
And if you don't know Jesus, that's where you're going.
That's right.
Amen.
Well, that's too harsh.
Come on.
Truth. No, it's truth. "And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Look at verse 2 in Malachi 4. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. See, what's going to happen to the judged? It's a separation from the Lord forever. There is no purgatory. There is no second chance. It's a separation from heaven forever. And if this doesn't motivate you to witness to your family members and witness to the lost around you, there's something wrong. It's a separation from God's love forever. You don't have a relationship with Christ. You're doomed. You're damned forever. There's no going back. There's no correction. So we see the description of the judged. We see the declaration of God's judgment. And then lastly, we see the depiction of the judgment. In verse 1, it says, "Shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither what? Root nor branch." Verse 3, "And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes." How do you get ashes, folks? They're burned up, okay? "Under the soles of your feet, in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts." See, the depiction of the judgment is associated with fire. Because fire tries all things from God. It is an eternal fire. In Mark chapter 9, verse 43, Christ is given an illustration about you don't want to go there. And he says this, he says, "If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed, enter into eternal life maimed." But you know something? God will restore all that. God will make you whole. He's God. "Than to having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be" what? "Quenched." It's an eternal fire. It's a tormenting fire. In Luke chapter 16, we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. That's a true story, folks. When God uses names, when Christ uses names, it's real people. And in verse 24, and he cried and said, "Father Abraham," because he sees Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Lazarus had been oppressed, but Lazarus, who had faith in God, in paradise. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am" what? "Tormented in this flame." You know, it bothers me when you talk to someone who is absolutely arrogant and proud, and you try to witness to them and say, "I'm going to be down hell with all my friends. We're going to have a party down there."
Come on.
Because it's going to be associated with disappointment. You think it's going to be fun with all your friends? The Bible does not teach that. And I believe the Bible. It is truth.
Amen.
And if you think that you can deal your way out, party your way out, it's not going to happen. Back in Isaiah chapter 5 verse 4 says, "Therefore as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." This week I was talking about, you know, the unpardonable sin. What's a blasphemy about the Holy Spirit? A blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? It's unbelief. It's unbelief.
Amen.
God will forgive everything else except unbelief, but He cannot forgive the fact that you won't follow Him in salvation. He won't forgive that. Well, I didn't know! Nope. Not going to work. See, it said here, it says, shall be what? The proud and the wicked, those that do wickedly, shall be what? Stubble. There's three things about stubble. I thought about going out and getting some stubble and throwing it around out here. No. Okay. Then Dolores would get mad at me. Okay. You know, stubble's unusable. It's worthless. It's not profitable. And it's inferior. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we see here that the judgment is depicted as being associated with fires, the eternal fires, the tormenting fires associated with disappointment, because people are going to find out what they missed. And I think that that's going to be the agony of eternity. When you had a chance and you blew it. And there's no second chance. I think that will be the torment that people will have. Not only the physical anguish of it, but the fact that they rejected the gospel when the gift was right in front of them and they didn't do anything about it. The last thing is, it's associated with finality and eternity. It says that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. You know, when you want to kill a plant, what do? You take it out by the roots. Can't be done. What did Christ say? He says, you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. And unless you abide in the vine, you're fit for nothing and to be cast out and burned with what? Fire. In that same story in Luke chapter 16, the response was this. Besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. What does cannot mean? Cannot. It's not going to happen. Neither can they pass to us that would come from this. I guarantee you, if CNN went down and interviewed the people in hell, every one of them would want out of it. But too late. And if someone went up and interviewed everyone in heaven, they said, I'm so glad I received Christ as my Savior. Are you prepared? That's the point. Malachi is preaching his heart out to people who should know better and not doing it. We're here at God's Word tonight. We know better. Are we doing it? Are we doing it? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, just ask me this time of invitation. Father, just help us, Lord, to trust in you, to follow you, to have our judgment from you put on your cross. Lord, help us, Lord, to judge ourselves that we would not be judged, Lord. Help us, Lord, to judge in our church, because that's where judgment should start. And Lord, I pray that you bring a cleansing tonight in our lives, Lord, in our families, Lord, in our church, that will bring revival. Lord, have the Holy Spirit work in a mighty way tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.